You're listening to MLB.com Extras, brought to you by MLB.tv. It's baseball everywhere.
It is the final day of August. That is hard to believe. We are heading down the home stretch of the 2016 season. Kerry Muscat, our Cubs reporter, joining us here on this Wednesday. Kerry, thank you as always for the time. Let's start off by talking about Kyle Hendricks, because why not? He was dominant yet again on Tuesday. His ERA in the second half this season, a paltry 1.34. The second half ERA last year was 4.44. And as you wrote following the game, sometimes you watch Kyle Hendricks and you say, how does he get major league hitters out? Because he never lights up the radar gun. His stuff does not blow anybody away. And yet, 18 consecutive starts, 3 earned runs or less, the longest streak of any pitcher in the majors this season. I know that there's a long list of factors that go into his success, but at the top of that list, what do you put right there?
Basically, it's just fastball command. He's been able to locate his fastball. He throws a two-seamer, he throws a four-seamer, and he throws it where he wants to. And basically, that's it. It's really that simple. What I liked was the post-game quote from Pirates manager Clint Hurdle, who said that when he was watching the game, he had a flashback to 1987 and seeing Greg Maddux on the mound. And a lot of us have tried really hard not to compare Hendricks to Maddux, because that's unfair to do that to anybody. But it's just very similar in terms of their style. They're not overpowering a batter. They're not trying to blow anything by them. They're just really trying to outsmart them a little bit with their location.
And that's a great quote that Clint Hurdle had. Anytime you evoke the name of Greg Maddux, a Hall of Famer, you know you're doing something right. And like you said, that's a tough comparison to make for any pitcher to live up to that standard. But again, I can see where Clint Hurdle is coming from, certainly. Joe Maddon had an interesting thing he said before the game. Somebody asked him, what do you say to Kyle before his starts? What do you say to get him ready? And Joe basically said, I keep my mouth shut, because when a guy is going this good, you don't want to mess with his head or put thoughts in there that might screw him up. He said, I just let him go out there and do what he does. Is that his general approach to every guy on this staff, or does it differ with differing personalities depending on what pitcher you're talking about? What's his approach there?
Actually, Joe pretty much leaves him alone. His feeling is that anything that he says is just going to screw him up. So he does not really interfere. He leaves that to the coaches. And in fact, the only thing I've ever heard him say on a regular basis and to the batters is that he'll tell Dexter Fowler, you go, we go, before every at bat, and that's it. So, no, he stays out of the way.
Yeah, hands-off approach, and it's worked wonders to this point of the season. There's no question about that. So, great outing for Hendricks on Tuesday, and Monday night, that was wacky. One of the wilder Cubs victories this season in 13 innings over the Pirates. Just a lot of strange things in that game. Javier Baez was thrown out at home not once but twice in extra innings. Then you've got the Cubs trailing entering the 13th. And, Kerry, it seemed like one of those games where the baseball gods are screaming at the Cubs, you know what, it's not your night. Pack it in, take the L, regroup tomorrow, and play another day. But that's never their mentality, never their attitude. And in terms of pure resiliency and just grinding out every pitch, every at-bat, in terms of that, was this maybe the most impressive win for the Cubs this season, or one of their most impressive?
You could say it's one of the most impressive. I personally like the other one where they had Travis Wood in the outfield, and Madden was configuring people all over the place, and that one was a little more entertaining to me. This one was just long, and I give the players a lot of credit, because I know I was tired. I flew in Monday morning from Los Angeles. They flew Sunday night, and their flight was delayed because of mechanical problems. So they didn't get out of LA didn't get back in until about 2 or 3 in the morning, which is a little tough. And the Pirates had come down from Milwaukee and had a 90-minute drive, so they didn't have much of a commute at all. You give the players a lot of credit for that. That's probably why Maddon canceled batting practice for Tuesday and Wednesday against the Pirates, telling the players, on Tuesday they didn't have to show up until be dressed until 6 o'clock, which is an hour before game time. He's very big on rest, and that's really a key for him in the month of August, is to make sure that everyone gets their time off and gets a breather. And they've even been talking about going to a 6-man rotation to make sure that they can serve the starters.
And that was going to be my next point. As you pointed out, Joe Maddon very big on giving guys breathers, letting them rest, especially here for the stretch run heading into October. How has there been any more discussion about that potential six-man rotation, and how much of a reality do you think this could become?
Well, right now they're just waiting for John Lackey to come back. He is supposed to throw a bullpen, his second bullpen, on Thursday. If that's good, he will start on Sunday in the series finale against the Giants. Now, if they get Lackey back, they could just sort of keep Montgomery in the mix and then go with six starters. You know, the only thing you worry about is do you kind of wear out the bullpen if somebody has a short outing, even though nobody really has. I'm not sure how many pitchers they're going to be adding on September 1st, which is Thursday. I'm not sure how many guys will come up to give them any more depth. You know, the biggest thing with them is they're waiting for injured players like Hector Rondon and Pedro Strop to come back, and they're both very close. Strop was supposed to be, has been kind of playing catch. Rondon was to throw a bullpen very soon, so they should both be back in the first week. Actually, Strop probably a little later. He's just acting like he's going to be back tomorrow. But once they get those guys back, they'll be in a lot better shape.
Yeah, two huge arms to add to that bullpen to bridge to Aroldis Chapman in the ninth and Pedro Strop and Hector Rondon. So Cubs fans awaiting their returns. And, Kerry, going back to that potential six-man rotation, in theory, it obviously sounds good. You want to give your guys rest and really stretch them out for September and beyond. But we know that baseball players are creatures of habit, and that especially goes for pitchers and starting pitchers who have a routine in the 4 days between starts. Is that a concern at all, or how much of a concern could that be as they weigh the pros and cons of maybe implementing the six-man rotation?
Well, I talked to Jake Arrieta about it on Tuesday, and he said it's not a problem at all because they'll just, if they know that in advance, and obviously they will because pitching coach Chris Fazio is probably one of the more organized people I've ever met. If they know that in advance, they'll know, okay, instead of doing your bullpen on this day, you know, they'll do it on another day. They might do a little extra side throwing session with Arrieta. He might do a little extra Pilates session. Once they figure out what they need to do, they can adjust. And these guys have also had built-in off days, and they've had really enough time. You know, Arrieta said, I think one of the things they were concerned about last year was Arrieta kind of ran out of gas at the end of last year. But to him, that's because he was making a huge jump in terms of innings pitched from 2014. Now this year, he knows what to expect. He knows what it takes to do the 250 innings, and he says he can handle it, and he feels great now. So I think the guys are prepared.
Yeah, I think certainly more pros than cons, certainly if this six-man rotation does become a reality. Kerry, backtracking a little bit to the series in L.A., of course, it seems like whenever any team makes the visit into Dodger Stadium, one of their first stops is to see Vin Scully, and why wouldn't you? 67 years in the broadcast booth, his final one here in 2016. You had a great story about David Ross and Joe Maddon getting to meet the broadcasting icon. Talk about their visit, and did you have the privilege of actually being there when they got to meet Vin Scully?
No, I didn't. I didn't get to see it. The booth is very small that Vin is in, and I think most fans would understand that. They wanted to keep it to minimal intrusion, so to speak. What was cool is that Ross and Joe presented Vin with a number 67 from the Wrigley scoreboard. That's one of those numbers they use for the pitchers. Anybody who's been to Wrigley will understand that. And then they also gave him a Dodger flag that had flown over the stadium. They used the flags to do the standings on top of the scoreboard, and so they gave him one of those, which he was really thrilled by the flag. And then Joe, I guess, took it another step and gave Vin some of his t-shirts from this season, which have some of Joe's favorite sayings. One of them is try not to, and you can fill in the blank. What was funny is I saw Vin in the elevator. I should call him Mr. Scully. I'm sorry. I saw Mr. Scully in the elevator after a game, and I asked him about the t-shirt, and he said he showed it to his wife, and she said, oh my, and he's not quite sure he'll wear it. Of course, we were all trying to imagine Vin in the t-shirt anyways, and it didn't seem to be quite appropriate, but I think he'll make the most of those. Yes.
I think the internet might break if there ever came a time where you saw Vin Scully or Mr. Scully wearing a T-shirt like that. Like I said, I think social media and the internet would just shut down. That would be something else. So a great meeting there between Joe Maddon, David Ross, and the legend Vin Scully. And Kerry, to wrap up, we have to get the post-pajama report, if you will, as for the second straight year following their flight from L.A. after battling the Dodgers. Joe Maddon had his boys in a pajama onesie, so give us some of the highlights from Pajama Party Part 2.
I like Trevor Cahill's outfit. It was kind of a green dinosaur with a strange tail on the back.
Okay.
There were some very patriotic outfits, kind of flaggish, by Lester and John Lackey. Unfortunately, it was hot. Mm. And when they did this last year, it was after a night game, and so the fleece was appreciated a little bit more. On Sunday, it was a little warm, so one of the players described the feeling as like wearing a diaper, which isn't a real good image, but it was a little toasty for fleece, but I think once they turned the air conditioning on the bus and turned the air conditioning on the plane, they were okay. I know Madden had a new outfit. We didn't really get to see it. I heard it was rather bright. Chris Bryant had a Stormtrooper outfit. Even Aroldis Chapman got into it, and they were laughing, you know, before the game even started, trying on their new onesies, and it was just fun to see them all taking part in it and getting involved and having a good chuckle. They did not win the game, so maybe it wasn't quite as much fun as it was a year ago. But the one thing to note is that Madden said, and I didn't realize this, is that these guys can wear the onesies anytime they want.
Oh, wow.
So let's say, for example, they have a night game in Houston coming up, and then they go to St. Louis. They could wear them on the plane after Houston. Now, I don't think anybody's going to do that, but at least it's an option.
Yeah, at least the offer's out there. So good for Joe Maddon. Nobody in baseball is better at keeping it fun and lighthearted than Joe Maddon. He wins that vote by a landslide, no question. Kerry Muscat, always a pleasure. We'll do it again at this time next week. In the meantime, Matt Wehmeyer signing off for MLB.com Extras, Chicago Cubs.
MLB.tv Premium, the number one live streaming sports service, is celebrating 13 years. Watch every out-of-market regular season game live or on demand in true HD. Real-time highlights, live look-ins, pitch tracking widget, and more. MLB.tv Premium includes a free At-Bat 15 subscription. Watch live baseball on over 400 mobile and connected devices. Watch at home, in the office, or on the go, every night, on every device. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Visit MLB.tv for details.